Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Crystal Quest Show with John Dennis Gobert and Happy Hara on HealthyLife.net, positive talk radio, where we explore crystal energy, astrology, earth mysteries, metaphysics, and spirituality. I am your co-host, Happy Hara, and I'm here with our other co-host, John Dennis Gobert. In this show, we are taking a break from the crystal kingdom and talking about the magical plant kingdom instead. In my recent search for new books, I ran across an interesting title. The book was titled Communicating with Plants, Heart-Based Practices for Connecting with Plant Spirits, written by Jen Frey, and it's published by Baron Company and Inner Traditions. Our focus on the show does tend to be oriented towards crystals and sacred sites, but I think the magical plant kingdom is a very close cousin. While I've always had a very strong connection to crystals since I was a child, my love of plants has matured, and now I find myself creating plant and rock gardens. I love discovering new varietals of plants. I was at the nursery the other day, and I go to this particular nursery where I live, where they have sometimes they have really rare plants. And every time I walk in, I'm always waiting to see what plant is going to magically connect with me. And this happens every time I go to this particular nursery. And this time they frequently don't have the plants marked what they are. So one, of course, pulled me in. So I had to go find I don't want to call them employees because they're really plant experts. So she came over and told me all about the plant. And it was a rare hibiscus. It was called a black hibiscus. It had these really dark mahogany brown flowers. I totally fell in love, and of course, I bought the plant. But when I connect with plants like this, I mean, it's like kind of on a different frequency. Sometimes I feel like I can hear them sing, and I talk to the plants in my gardens. Even this morning, a rose bloom came out, and I was talking to it and sniffing it and telling it I loved it. You know, so I feel like people would think I was crazy in my garden. But so I'm so glad to find this book because it makes me realize that maybe I'm not crazy. So anyway, I did create a medicine wheel in my backyard with rocks, quartz crystal, agate, those herbs, flowers, sacred plants. I always try to bring in some rare plants. And so I love this connection of plants and crystals together. John Dennis, what kind of interesting connection have you had with plants?
Well, I mean, I lived in Indiana where it was lusher before I moved to Tucson. So a lot of the plants that Jen talks about in her book, I could relate to because they were in my environment at that time. Not now. One of the interesting interactions I had later on was I was practicing this energy practice called Spiral Dragon with my teacher, Master Chuan. Somebody asked in the middle of the whole practice, they said, who's the greatest Qigong practitioner in the entire world? And Master Chuan just pointed, because we were practicing outside. He just pointed, and everybody turns their head, and they're like, is there a person there? Is it somebody who lives in Seattle? You know, and they're everybody's looking. And then somebody said, who? And he goes, the pine tree. The pine tree is the greatest Qigong master ever. And he said, think about it. They have completely straight spines. We don't keep our spines straight all the time. They have completely orderly branches. And they take energy from the earth, move it up their spine, up their trunk, down. He goes, they do that all day, all night. He goes, there's no human that has, that ever practices that much moving of energy that consistently. He goes, so that is the Qigong master right there.
Oh, that's a great story. So the pine tree is the ultimate Qigong master.
Absolutely, yep. Not a human.
And I've always felt like trees are masters on this planet anyway. So this is why I was so excited to run across Jen Frey's book. The book has in-depth essays about several different plants. It also has exercises. The book has a very practical, experiential component to it, too. There are so many crystal books out there showing us how to work with crystals and identifying them and what they do. So I really enjoyed running across this book, which shows us how to connect with various plants and kind of getting more into their, I don't know, metaphysical properties, too. So, of course, we invited Jen Frey to the show today to talk about her exciting book. Jen is a healer, mentor, earth advocate, and voice of the plant. She is the founder of Heart Springs Sanctuary, where she helps people deepen their connection with nature through plant communication. With over 20 years of experience with plant essences, energy work, and herbal practices, her private consultations and plant-based protocols are known for helping clients through emotional life transitions, physical health crises, and chronic pain conditions. She is the founder of Bridget's Way and co-steward of Heart Springs Sanctuary in Pennsylvania. I want to extend a heartfelt welcome to Jen Frey. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you so much, Happy and John Dennis. I'm so happy to be with you.
Yes. So, you know, yes. Yeah, we're very excited about this because we both clearly love plants. But, you know, Jen, there was another part of your bio I wanted to share just because it's so interesting. So it says that Jen has survived quicksand and hypothermia in the Amazon rainforest, kayaked with glowing bioluminescent plankton, played with fairies in Ireland, and nearly been blown out to sea in Iceland. So, Jen, it sounds like you've been doing some pretty extreme adventures.
They weren't intended to be extreme adventures.
Those are the best adventures. I mean, when I read that, I thought, it sounds like you're hanging out with Bear Grylls, you know, on one of his shows, you know? I want to just start with the fairies in Ireland. I mean, tell us about that.
Well, so the fairies have actually been some of my biggest guides my entire life, though I didn't always have a name for them. So I play with fairies every day. Well, I shouldn't say that because they're like, you haven't been outside with us in a while, but because it's cold here. But you know, in general, I prefer to go spend time with the fairies every day. And even when I'm not outside, they guide my life. But in Ireland, I shouldn't say that they're more alive, but they're more present because the people of the land interact with them so much. So it allows them to have a stronger energy and more of them to congregate there. So it's just easier to tap into their energy. Iceland as well. Iceland's a little bit different, but the elemental beings there are also so strong because, again, the people believe in them. The people interact with them and feed them, you know, create relationship with them. So it just makes it easier to experience them.
Yeah, that's a great description. And it kind of, well, I'm also kind of asking this, too, because I've always kind of felt like, you know, the fairies are so, they're so elemental themselves and really connected in with nature spirits. And how do you see the connection between fairies and the plant kingdom?
Oh, I feel like they are, like, inseparable. And actually, I was even thinking that when you did the opening and talking about how you normally talk about the crystal world. And the plants, I think, would say that they're actually, that, you know, the definition between plant and crystal is also a little hard. I mean, from our human lens, we have these different kingdoms. But the minerals and the rocks are such a part of a tree. You know, plants are such a part of their landscape that it's hard to separate one from the other. So they blend in together to create, you know, a multi-being being. I can't think of the right word for it, but that's what I would call it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I know less about the landscape of Pennsylvania. I mean, of course, I've been there. It's beautiful there, too, especially out in the countryside. I'm like through Amish country stuff. I mean, it's so incredibly beautiful there. But, yeah. Do you live out in Amish country?
Mm-hmm. Where I am it's not as big of an Amish community, but I grew up around the Amish in the same county, so yes.
Yeah, and they're very connected to the land. But what I was going to say is, like, out here in the southwest and here in Arizona, you know, like, we have saguaros and we have trees, even though some people call them large bushes. But sometimes they actually grow out of the rock. Like, I've seen saguaro cactuses, not just cacti, not just saguaro, grow out of solid granite, like on the sides of mountains. I've seen some trees do that, too. And I've always wondered, like, well, that is so incredible. You know, like, how are they getting nutrients? How are they rooting? I don't know if you know anything about that, because I think we're kind of talking about rock, the connection of rocks and plants here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I'm sure, like, my botanist friends could give you really in-depth descriptions of what goes on. But that's what I get fascinated by, too. I mean, I don't like to see trees that fall over, but when there is a tree that falls over, I love to examine their root structure. And there's always rocks that are part of it, and sometimes really deeply into the roots and to the bark of the tree. And I've definitely, you know, seen plants the same as you were talking about, like growing out of where there doesn't appear to be any soil at all and just straight rock. And they're just amazing to me. And it just, again, speaks to the ability of plants to survive and adapt and find a way to live and thrive in whatever conditions they're in.
Yeah, now the last time I saw this, a couple of weeks ago, I was probably hiking around, I even thought, I was really looking at the plant that was doing this, and I thought, this must be a very, like, spiritually advanced plant because it's not surviving on bread alone. You know, like it has the ability to survive. Like, maybe other plants couldn't, but maybe that one had a more advanced plant spirit that was more spiritually based. And I don't know, it really got me thinking about that topic of, like, why some plants could thrive in those conditions and others wouldn't, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like plants all have different personalities. Like, I have two different roses that are the same. They're, of course, they're the same varietal, but they have different personalities. One seems to be, you know, very extroverted, and the other one's kind of shy. I mean, I'm actually noticing personality in plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah. What's your connection been with that? I mean, like, do you connect with them like that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're, you know, so when I started studying more in depth about working with plant spirits, a lot of teachers would tell you that when you're communicating with plants and connecting with them, it's the same species has the same message. So you're connecting not necessarily with the individual plant, but the species as a whole. And I think that's true, and I think they also have their own personalities. And so, you know, there are some trees, I think it's easier to see, trees and bushes that are long growing and have been in an environment for a while. They just take on their own individual personality that we can read the same key points. Like you mentioned, John Dennis mentioned the pine tree. You know, we can see the same key points working with pine all around the globe, but then individual pines might really capture our heart or might have something that even more to say to us. So, yeah, I would definitely say plants have personality.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about, I was just going to add for a second that in Chinese metaphysics, there's one of the elements is called wood, and one of the elements, of course, is earth. But wood, which is like the plant world, but also air, has the ability to destroy earth or uproot it, which is exactly, you know, plants growing out of rocks.
Right.
And, you know, because they have the ability to, like, make soil, so to speak, like break up the solidity and make it useful.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's a really interesting point. So actually the trees or the plant that's going on the rock is actually breaking down the rock and making it more usable.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, and if it wasn't for that interaction, there wouldn't be a balance among the elements.
Right. And it takes, I think, an incredible ability to be able to do that. I mean, not every plant can live right on the rock, just like we can't live in all the areas of the earth. We don't all thrive in every area of the earth, but there are some areas that we can thrive in which may be very different for you and for me. Like, I don't do well in desert. I love desert. But I feel like every bit of moisture just gets sucked out of my body, and I'm just dry all the time. And, you know, other people, of course, do really well there. And same with the plants. I was thinking as you were talking, Happy, actually, in the beginning, was that the plants in the book are plants that grow around me, right? They're the plants that, like, I really connected with. And how different than the plants that grow around you. But the whole point of the book is that we can communicate with any plant no matter where they are, and they all have things to teach us. And for sure, the plants in the desert, they are some of the best adapters. So they have some of the best techniques or wisdom to give us to help us learn how to adapt to these times that we're in when the earth is changing so rapidly.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about adaptation lately too, and you're right, cactus. It is absolutely amazing. You can uproot it. It will reconnect in a new way to the ground. I'm totally amazed by cactus all the time. So, in your book, so you have like these interesting, well, I'm going to just call essays about various plants. And I love the kind of organic way that you wrote, because, you know, you might like say have a whole essay about dandelion, but then you bring in other plants with it too. So and I really like the way that you made all your connections in the plant kingdom. So I have been having lots of dreams lately. In fact, I had some last night and I wrote them down, and I've been really getting this message lately that I really need to pay attention to my dreams. So I'm trying to do that. And I noticed you were talking about mugwort and dreams. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So mugwort, which is an artemisia. So the one that I work with is Artemisia vulgaris. And I don't know, I know Artemisia douglasiana grows in California. I don't know if it grows around you or not. That is a native mugwort here. Is really our dreaming plant, you know. So I think for many of us, as we were growing up, we were taught that dreaming's bad. We're not meant to be dreamers. We're not meant to be daydreaming. You're wasting your life away if you do that. But in reality, our dreams are such incredible sources of information for us, and it's when we can tap into the all and really receive information. Not saying that every dream is informational. We all have dreams that are processing our days or helping us deal with emotional stuff. But mugwort encourages us to dream both awake and asleep. And in that is a visioning plant and helps us to vision a new way of being in this world, a new way for our lives. Like, what does it mean to be fully in aligned with our soul, and what is it that our soul is longing for and asking us to do and to be.
So from a more practical perspective, then, if, say, one wanted to connect with, like, say, their nighttime dreams better, like helping them to understand them or process, or even just remember them, how would they work with mugwort?
Yeah, so you know, when I was an herbalist, this was one of the first plants that I got to know, and it's very typical for herbal students that they go gaga over mugwort. And the main way is using dream pillows. So they stash dried mugwort you can just do a muslin bag. You can just stick some leaves right in your pillowcase, or you can sew really fancy, beautiful dream pillows as well that go next to you or in your pillow. And just the smell of mugwort throughout the night can help us to remember our dreams, as well as can intensify our dreams so they become easier to remember. become clearer for us. Other people like to drink mugwort. Mugwort is a bitter, so you know, you might not enjoy the taste, but you could drink a little bit before bedtime. Not if you're pregnant. You don't want to be drinking mugwort if you're pregnant. And, you know, there's also mugwort sprays or mugwort hydrosols that you could be spraying around you. And, of course, the whole point of this book is that we can just simply call on the spirit of mugwort, the plant spirit of mugwort, and ask her to help bring us a dream. And that may be like there's a problem in our life or something that we're not sure about, and so we'd like a dream to have some clarity. Or in the case of my book, you know, we're using dreams to help us learn some of the wisdom of the plants. So we would be asking, like if we're working with pine, we're asking pine for a dream. But we can then include mugwort in that to help facilitate that process.
Oh, so you would, sometimes you do a combination of maybe two or more plants, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, well, you know, again, mugwort, so we can work straight with mugwort and dreaming, right? That's awesome. But mugwort also helps to facilitate that dreaming process. So if dreaming is a challenge for us and we ask a plant for a dream, then we can just bring mugwort in, like, again, dream pillow, and ask mugwort to help to facilitate it, make it a little bit easier for us to receive that dream from pine.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Actually, I love, while you've been talking, I've been thinking about a combination of, like, plant and crystal, because there's certain crystals you can put underneath your pillow and help you dreaming, like, say, amethyst or Herkimer diamond, and you could combine that with, like, put that in the mugwort pillow, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, absolutely.
Anyway, we need to take a break, but we will be right back with our guest, Jen Frey, author of Communication with Plants, or I should say Communicating with Plants. You are listening to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net Positive Talk Radio.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's chintamanimatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we're rejoining a conversation with our guest, Jen Frey, on her book on communicating with plants. One of the things that we chatted about briefly in the last section was plants that grow in different environments between the desert and between say Pennsylvania, the northeast of the United States. And one of the interesting things is when people moved to the desert here in Arizona, they brought their grasses with them and plants and things like that, and a couple of interesting plants came with it that have sort of changed. So one of them is one that you talked about, Jen, which is mulberry. And one of the weird iterations of things that happened with mulberry here is that people in the desert have gotten so allergic to it that it's actually been outlawed to, in like new housing areas to plant mulberry at all, because it, just because it creates like, you could say a public health hazard. And the other one that's like that is olive trees, which obviously don't have a problem in Italy or Greece, but here in the desert, they create something altogether different. So I'd like to get your thoughts on, like, what's going on.
I have no idea. I'm so fascinated. I didn't know this. So I'm curious about the mulberry. Is it the pollen that's making people sick, or is there something else? Do you know?
It may be the pollen, because we have pollen, clearly pollen seasons, and, just like everywhere else. But, the different things come up. But it's like those two especially, I've come across people who have really strong and negative reactions. They break out in hives. It's almost like you were talking about poison ivy,
right.
In your one section. It's like people have really severe reactions to mulberry and to olive trees, not ornamental olives, but, the actual fruit-bearing olive trees.
Wow. Yeah, I have no idea. I've never heard of this. I mean, to me, the first thing that comes to mind is just the importance of working with plants in the areas in which they grow. And that's not to say that we can't, one of the human, well, even pre-human animal-plant relationships is to help plants to move. With humanity, of course, we can help them move much faster than what typically happened. But so it's not saying that we can't move plants, but I always stress before planting a plant, be sure that the plant wants to be there, first of all, and that the land wants the plant to be there. So I'm guessing that's not happening, but I'm just so fascinated by this and how, like, a tree that, for me, mulberry is just such a gift and such a friend, and people just delight in the berries and are, they get completely covered in purple from eating so many of them, to, mm-hmm. eating something that's a public hazard is so interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I was sort of shocked when I was reading your that chapter, and I was going, mulberries? I wouldn't even think of, getting a mulberry berry, from one here.
Right.
It's like, whoa.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It is very, it's very out. They did grow up, because in, Phoenix and Tucson, the climate has changed a lot. We actually, a bunch of years ago, used to be a grassland, and that isn't true anymore. It's like, it's more and more hard desert that it's become. So when a lot of the people first came and brought those plants, there was really a different environment that was here. So a lot of the mulberry and olives took root and actually really thrived. And they were specifically planted for, their beauty and people's connection with them. And it just didn't, so they thrive in a lot of places where there was more water, and it was because it was a different environment here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's intriguing.
Okay, that's another thing we have to do. We've got to definitely explore, I think. One of the things I thought that was, well, interesting is like the mulberry, it's like you were talking about poison ivy. And, of course, I grew up in northwest Indiana, and poison ivy was everywhere. And then a little bit like you, I could be around it and not get rashes or anything. But what I thought was interesting is you talking about it as a boundary plant and a protector. So could you chat about that, please?
Yeah, so poison ivy likes to grow in what we would call sacred areas, and that includes places where mm-hmm. the land to reclaim. And so, you know, our humanist tells us that we own the earth and we should, like, you know, be able to go anywhere we want to go. And that's, of course, not the case. There are, everybody has boundaries and there are limitations. And, of course, we know that humans have caused a lot of harm to this earth. So one of the plants to help us remember that is poison ivy. And so when we see poison ivy, it's a good idea to, like, ask if we should be in this area. And, you know, it doesn't mean just because poison ivy is there that we can't be there, but that we need to be mindful and at least ask. Because for some places, poison ivy comes in where the land needs to heal and humans need to stay out. And it's important that we respect mm-hmm. that. So because of that, poison ivy can help us as humans also to learn setting boundaries, because most of us don't have healthy boundaries and don't actually know what it means to set a healthy boundary. And so we can work with the plant spirit to help us feel safe, feel protected. We can, you know, surround our houses with that energy, surround ourselves with that energy, but also to teach us to express healthy boundaries as well as to respect other people's boundaries. Because that is definitely a thing that we need to learn.
So when you prescribe it, like poison ivy for people, do you prescribe it as like an essence, or how do you get people to connect with it?
Yeah. So for my clients, I would probably include an essence in their blend, or they could work with a spray. But also, I suggest that people work with the plant spirit. So in order to do that, I mean, if they're my clients, they have access to any of the plant spirits that I connect with. But as individuals, you can develop your own relationship with poison ivy and talk with them. And then once you have that relationship, you can ask them to surround your house or imagine poison ivy growing around your boundaries. Like, I have some clients who were in, who had gotten out of very abusive relationships and had PFAs, but yet the people weren't respecting their boundaries. And so we surrounded the house with the energy of poison ivy, and their exes suddenly stayed away. So, you know, this is really powerful, potent medicine. It's not something that's not my first go-to for protector, but it's just really, if your other protective measures aren't being respected, then we can bring in poison ivy.
It's a super protector, then.
Yeah, I guess that's how we could look at poison ivy.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. And, I guess there were certain parts of, like, the forest that I would, like, find it in, but I'd already be in the middle of the poison ivy, and then my friends would say, "Oh, poison ivy," and then it's like, we can't go there. It's like, okay, I better back out here. But there was also poison sumac and a number of other plants like that.
Right, right.
Which I don't find here, which I really don't find here.
No.
So I want to thank you for that part of the discussion. We're going to go for another break here. And I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we will be back with our guest, Jen Frey, on the other side.
Oh, Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page and just email Happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio, with your show hosts Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert. We are here with our guest Jen Frey, the author of a new book titled Communicating with Plants. So, Jen, welcome back. And so before we forget, I wanted to ask, how do you have a website where people can connect with you?
Yes, my website's bridgetsway.com.
And how do you spell that?
It's B as in boy, R I, G as in good, I D as in dog, S as in Sam, WAY.com.
Okay, that's perfect. And where can listeners buy your book?
You can buy it directly from me, and I'm happy to sign or inscribe it for you, or of course anywhere that you would get your books. Bookshop, Amazon, Inner Traditions is my publisher. They have it. Barnes & Noble, contact your local bookstores. It's always good to have local bookstores be aware of new authors.
Yeah, that's great. So your website, bridgetsway.com, I'm assuming that since you named your website after Bridget, that you have some sort of connection with Bridget.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When I, my path towards my healing path or the healing practice path has been long and started as a very, very young child. But when I started to go much deeper into working with the plants, the Bridget started just coming forward a lot and really was guiding me through the early years in particular. And so when it came time to name my business, I couldn't think of a better name, and so Bridget's been a very big guide for me. It was one of the reasons why I went to Ireland and really helped orchestrate that tour as well. And she's not necessarily my main guide anymore, but she's still very prevalent, and you know, she is the goddess of healing, so perfect for everything that I'm trying to do here.
You know, so and I noticed that you have some information about the cardinal directions in your book and so forth, but you know, Bridget is connected to, well, I believe it's Imbolc. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. You know, but it's the time of the year, you know, where it's, where we're between, like, say, the winter solstice and the spring equinox. It's actually at that point. It's generally around, it's in early February. Mm-hmm. And, I mention this because I've always felt a connection with Bridget, too. And when I went to Ireland, I went to Kildare, and Kildare is like the town of Bridget. I mean, it's like her seat or something. And then I remember being in the cathedral there, and it just seemed like her presence was very alive in that Irish town. But I'm also mentioning Imbolc too, because I wanted to kind of get your thoughts about, like, say, working with the plant kingdom, you know, at solstices, equinoxes, or even at these other points in between the equinox and the solstice, and like the time period that's more associated with Bridget.
Yeah. So, you know, the plants are really our guides and teachers, and one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we connect with them and communicate with them is because they still know who they are. They know who they're supposed to be, they know their role in the earth, and most importantly, they remember ours, because most of us are amnesiacs and just kind of forget it. So one of the things that the plants have been doing for since the beginning of humanity, but it's only been in my awareness for the last, like, 10, 15 years, is really they've stepped forward to be our main teachers and initiators. So for many of us, especially that live in the U.S., we've lost those pathways that, whether it's celebrating the high holy days, the cross-quarter days, or even just the main thresholds of our lives, we used to have ceremonies for each of those. And we've forgotten a lot of them, turned our backs on, many of them have been demonized. And so the plants, we can work with them at these main time periods where the ability to connect with spirit is not only so easy, but also so very important to help us to know how to move forward and how to transform. So we can work with the different plants during those. And one of the people that I studied with, her name's Carol Guyette, and I mentioned her in the Tulsi chapter in my book. She developed these plant spirit initiations. And so it's a time period, usually 2 to 3 days, where we tend to fast, we drink a special elixir that's made with a particular plant, and that whole time period we're having ceremonies with the plant, and the plant's just really guiding us and helping us to evolve, helping us to understand who we are, why we're here. And so we work with different plants depending on the time of year, and there's not a set plant. I mean, some plants we can work with on multiple days, but they might give us different insights depending on when we work with them. So those are great times to bring in the plants to help us not only to celebrate, but also to access the energies of those very special days.
Well, that was beautifully said. And I love the way that you're saying that the plants, they know who they are, but most of us have forgotten. So, you know, kind of addressing these themes, even of adaptability, you know, are there particular plants you would recommend to people dealing with, like, say, lots of transition or crisis? Because I know a lot of friends and family who are dealing with lots of healing crises, or, you know, maybe especially since COVID occurred, you know, there might have been just a lot of crises occurring in their lives since that time period. Are there like a set of plants you would recommend for use for extreme transition?
So whatever there's something up in our life that we want help for, the best thing I think we can do is to ask for a plant. So just simply say, you know, like, can I, like, what plant would like to help me with this? And then pay attention and see who starts showing up in your life. And so we always say if a plant crosses your path three times, then you need to take notice of that. They have something to teach you, and that's the plant to work with. We don't have to wait for the third time. Sometimes it's really clear the very first time. So that's the number one thing I would say, because we each deal with transition in our own unique way, and so there might be a better plant that's for you at this time. And having said that, in my book I talk about Eastern hemlock, and Eastern hemlock is one of the big plants that one of their big gifts is to help us move through change with grace. And during this time, I mean, I mentioned earlier about all the big earth changes going on that we can't deny anymore. Eastern hemlock is really important for that. But it doesn't have to be earth changes. Again, it can just be a change of a job or a change of relationship or whatever the change is. If we're struggling with change, Eastern hemlock is really helpful. Also dealing with the earth changes is pawpaw. So pawpaw is another, like Eastern hemlock was one of the pioneer plants after the glaciers receded, and pawpaw was as well. And so pawpaw is a really great one. And for crisis, Tulsi is the one I go to. Tulsi just helps us to bring us back into our heart and help us to find our strength and navigate life.
Oh, Tulsi. And that one's a fairly easy one for people at least to find in like an herbal tea form as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very useful. It kind of reminds me of like when I was at the nursery the other day, I was really attracted to this hibiscus. And then the plant expert showed me a different hibiscus. And I've been so attracted to this plant that it's kind of, even before we started this show today, I thought, maybe I need to take some hibiscus. It's actually been going in my mind. So I really appreciate you saying, like, if it crosses your path three times, pay attention. So, you know, Jen, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed this topic today, and I learned really interesting things from you. I wish you well with the Plant Kingdom and with your new book called Communicating with Plants. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the featured crystal of the month. You are listening to Crystal Quest on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit chintamanimatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's chintamanimatrix.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit chintamanimatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at chintamanimatrix.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show with your hosts, Happy Hara, and me, John Dennis Gobert, on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we're going to discuss the Crystal of the Month, and it's connected to the 21st degree of Capricorn. So first, a couple things about Capricorn that it deals with. Capricorn is a cardinal and an earth sign, so it has a lot of practicality. It's ambitious. I would say ambitious for accomplishment is the main thing. It has a lot to do with being able to work and to get work done, to process work. It has a lot to do with structure, construction and things like that. It has to do with old age and, you know, the picture of Saturn as the Grim Reaper is part of it, because Saturn rules Capricorn. So that's one of its images. But it also has to do with our government, but the bureaucracy, the part of the government that doesn't change much. It's very interesting. And so if somebody's artistic and they're dealing, have a lot of Capricorn in their chart, they might go into landscape, they might go into sculpture, they might do woodworking or metalworking, but something like that. And it has to do with things that are very heavy, that are sort of hard, but it has to do with soils and minerals themselves. So in a sense, it's like a important thing, and it's like the deep history, and it has a lot to do with planets that are about planets like Earth. So the 21st degree comes up of Capricorn in many people's charts, so it doesn't have to just be the sun. It could be any of them. And so if you have that in your chart and you know about it, then you want to pay attention to be able to the next section, which is to be able to work with covellite, which is the stone mineral, which is fairly rare, I think, that was discovered by Niccolo Cavelli in 1832. And Happy, you're going to describe a little bit about what it is and what help it can be for you, right?
Yes, well, and I've been trying to think about how covellite connects with Capricorn, that sometimes in this system where the crystals associate with a particular degree in the zodiac, it's not so much about representing Capricorn as maybe bringing in new energies from other directions to help Capricorn, because Capricorn can be a fairly, you know, it's the earth goat. So sometimes it's also the sea goat, but you know it's butting heads, it's climbing the mountain, it's fairly stubborn and resistant, and that's part of its success. But you know, the way I view covellite is a rare copper sulfide. That right there is telling me movement and change. Okay, and so it could be that the element can help Capricorn or Capricorns to bring in some new energies that can help them with their creativity, help them flow better with their feelings. Their opposing sign is Cancer, which is water. And so perhaps it's bringing that in to actually help them be even more successful in a broader range, not just like what's right in front of them and climb that mountain. And that's how I frequently look at some of these elements. How does it broaden and deepen
you know, the Capricorn to being a more of a whole person instead of being just focused in one range. So Kabbalite is actually really pretty. It's kind of mysterious looking. It's very different than a lot of other minerals. In fact, the first time I saw it, I kind of wondered if it was even like natural. I thought maybe it was man-made, but it is considered natural. It looks like a shiny, it's kind of like a dark blue with kind of some iridescence, and it's shiny, metallic, and it's very dense. So when you hold it, it feels like a piece of heavy metal. But it's this beautiful dark blue, iridescent, shimmering kind of material. So it really looks kind of mystical and a little out of the ordinary for most minerals. So, you know, copper, so the reason why it's so heavy and dense is because it's got a high concentration of copper. Copper is a conductor of electricity. It's also alchemically the metal for Venus. And Venus represents creativity, fertility, prosperity, okay, and it's feminine energy. So the copper is conducting the electricity in the body. So if you're working with this, it's conducting you. You know, it's getting things to move, to shift, so that you can be more creative. But now the sulfur content in it is more masculine in nature. And sulfur is a combustible element alchemically. It's also used to denote expansive force, evaporation, and dissolution. And in alchemy, sulfur can represent the soul. So now what we're doing is we're combining these two together into this mixture or this blend. One is masculine and one is feminine. One deals with creativity. The other one is kind of dealing with combustion and expansive force as well as dissolution. So you bring these two together and you've got a fairly dynamic force. This is going to be a super mineral. And oddly enough, Kabbalite was the first mineral ever identified as a naturally occurring superconductor. This is a very, very unusual material. Now, there have been other minerals that have been identified as being superconductors in nature, but they have only been meteorites. Meteorites are also superconductors. So this is a fairly unusual element or mineral, and I have to do more research on this, and I just kind of wonder if Kabbalite itself might be meteoritic in origin as well. But I need to do more research on that. I'm just hypothesizing there. Anyway, a superconductor is something that occurs when there's electrical resistance vanishes and magnetic fields are expelled from the material. So we're dealing with magnetism here, using magnetism to create a field. And that's exactly what I was thinking when I was thought about the copper combining with sulfur. I thought, well, that's going to be this male-female magnetism that's going to create as a result of that. And that's exactly what the superconductor does. A few months ago, we actually had on our show, we interviewed Marine St. Germain. And I asked her about Kabbalite because she mentions it in one of her books, and I thought it was so unusual that she mentioned Kabbalite because it's kind of rare. You don't really see it being mentioned very much in crystal books. It's even when you do find it, it's kind of expensive. And so I was just interested that she mentioned one of her books, and you know, I remember we were discussing it with her. But anyway, in one of her books, she has an exercise where she uses the Kabbalite to activate the third eye. And that's kind of interesting, too, because the Kabbalite is sort of like it's a dark blue, so it looks more like a third eye chakra crystal. And then I was just wondering if you place it on the third eye or work with it in some way, if it's bringing in new superconducting energy that helps to waken up the electricity in the pineal gland. So, anyway, I think this is a good crystal for interesting experimentation.
So it's definitely a spiritual evolution mineral.
Yes. Yeah, I think, I don't think we fully understand. I think it's a little bit mysterious, I think we need to wake up to it. And I think it helps us to wake up as well.
Well, we will leave that for ourselves to ponder and for everyone who's listening today to maybe get some and work with it. But for now, we thank you for listening in to the Crystal Quest Show at HealthyLife.net Positive Talk Radio.